Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm your humble host, Kel Fritzy. I hope everybody is enjoying their Christmas holidays with their families and their friends. I'm having a wonderful time. The only thing I'm thinking about, though, is what's going on with this ice storm that devastated quite a bit of eastern North America, the United States, and Canada. Wow, that's quite the something out there. I woke up on the weekend. Was it Saturday or Sunday? Boy, time is just a flying, guys. My backyard looks like a winter wonderland, but it's not so wonderful. There is a lot of people still without power, and it's cold. I mean, it's cold. Last I checked, there were 32 to 34,000 people without power in the GTA area alone. That's down from 350,000 when the storm initially hit. So I just want you to think about those people. This interfered with my Christmas in a way, because my sister, she has the open house, the Christmas Eve open house every year. That's her gig. I was so excited. I had everything all ready to go, all the prezzies lined up by the door practically. And she lost her power, and she didn't have power for 4 days, and she stayed with my other sister. So we're going to try to do something else. But still, Christmas Eve, where we're with family, and it's usually rather boisterous, well, it was pretty quiet for the family because nobody could get to her place because she didn't have power. So, but you know what? It is what it is, and it happened as it was. So just thinking about those people in the cold right now, and that includes people in the United States are still without power. Yeah, people, their businesses are suffering and stuff like that. So just, you know, think about them. Now, I have a few things, as usual, I want to talk with you about. I was going to open up with these Islamicides going on here in Canada, in Toronto in particular. But then I was perusing my email, and this came across my desk. What the hell? This is from Compassionate Canadians, okay? Canadian lambs to slaughter. Killing too cruel for Australia, but A-okay for Canada? Yeah. What is this? Jeez. Now, last month, for the first time in Singapore, 500 Canadian lambs were killed in the annual Corbin ritual during Hari Raya Haji celebrations. Now, these ritual killings, they take place at mosques and religious schools, and they have been increasingly criticized due to the animal welfare concerns. You guys are all aware about Islamic animal slaughter, specifically during Eid al-Adha. Well, here we go again, and this time Canada is complicit in it. All right. The animals slaughtered, they're primarily goats and sheep, and they're killed by having their throats cut, who are fully conscious. Yes, that is halal slaughter. Now, traditionally, untrained members of the public in the number of up to 120 carry out the killing, sawing through the necks of terror-stricken, suffering animals. I am getting so sick of this. What the hell? Again? Now, in 2012, all of the animals killed in Singapore during the event were imported from Australia. But following international outrage, and rightly so, After the conditions of the killings were exposed, the Australian government imposed new regulations on foreign livestock exporters. The new rules require more space for each animal in the holding pens, allow only trained personnel to carry out the slaughter, and require that the knife be used to be twice the length of the animal's neck. The 16 mosques in Singapore where Corban took place in October of 2013 were audited in April and July by the Australian government, which approved the export of 2,000 sheep, but that was only at the last minute. Now, they were identifying a need, not Australia, these Corbanimals, were identifying a need for a more reliable supply chain. And the Singapore Mosque Corban Committee, the body that organizes the event, explored Canada as an additional source of sacrificial animals. And the Canadian federal government happily obliged, and 500 lambs were shipped. Corban using Canadian lambs are not subjected to an ESCAS audit, i.e. what the new Australian regulations had established. Now, New Zealand had already banned the live export of animals for slaughter, and Australia appears well on its way to doing the same. But what about the Canadian government and their ever-increasing quest for greater profit through expanded export agreements? It has become a race to the bottom for the welfare of Canada's farmed animals. I don't have it in my blog yet, but I will have it up there probably by tomorrow morning. But I have the link here, and this is from Compassionate Canadians, www.mfablog.com. I'm looking at this article, and there's a picture. And holy smokes, there's a couple of Muslims dragging a goat. And the goat's not dead, it's alive. And they're dragging it by its forearms, and its legs are dragging behind it. They're not walking it or anything. No, they're dragging it. They're dragging a live creature across concrete. I didn't expect to open up the program with this topic, but we are all aware of halal slaughter. We have seen the videos. We have seen how these Muslims, these sub-Quranimals, treat the livestock. This sickens me. This infuriates me. And Canada, my country, is complicit in this? Oh, good God, give me strength. I swear. I'm going to put the link in the chat room for people. And like I say, for the archive listeners, I'll put it in my blog later on. There we are. Yeah, I like what Cal says. Cal Living. Replace those sheep or goats to pigs and see how many are sacrificed. Absolutely, indeed. And Cal Living is always... I'm also asking a question. This happens every year. And why don't they put the lines underground? And well, that's a very, very good question. Very interesting. Because they're Quranimals and they get away with it. Because they push the envelope and we allow it. This one really gets to me, too. The Canadian federal government, they're testing a new supply chain. What on earth is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. They're all in it for the money. the price of each Australian sheep supplied by the AKV for Corbyn was $455. Canada is offering a lower price, and Canada is obviously checking out a new supply chain. I just wanted to bring that up and let you know about that. It just angers me. As you know, I am the producer for Restore Australia, heard here on Wednesdays on the Red Fox Blogger, and that is Mike Holt. And he is the man behind the sticker campaign, Halal Foods, right? I sent this article to him, and I'm hoping that he'll posted in his blog on Restore Australia. And that's restoreaustralia.org.au. He does a lot of work. He's the one, the sticker campaign. You see the red ones that say, Beware, Halal Food Funds Terrorists? That's Mike Holt's campaign. That's his. He created that. And the black and white one with the skull and crossbones, ban Islam, that's Mike Holt. People, this is halal. This is what we consume. And we're shipping our livestock over there to be slaughtered, have them dragged around, have them thrown in tight pens, and have them there to listen to the screams of live creatures, their throats being slaughtered by the inexperienced, according to this article. The inexperienced. They're not being slaughtered humanely. Do you know, I am so sick and tired of not knowing what's going into my supermarket. My proprietor, it is up to his or her discretion to tell me whether or not something is labeled halal. And that infuriates me. Even milk is labeled halal, and it's nothing but a money market. It's nothing but a racket. That's all it is. I don't eat a whole lot of flesh animals anymore. I might eat lobster because that's considered haram in the Islamic food chain or something like that. Oh, I eat pig, lots of pig. Love my pork roast. But I'm very, very wary when I go to the supermarket now about what are on the shelves. Everything is being labeled halal, but we don't know it. Like I say, the proprietor, it's up to their discretion as to whether or not they tell us. And this is why Mike Holt started the Beware Halal sticker campaign. He was relating a... When he did his show, he was on hiatus for Christmas Day, but he'll be back this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Please be here because we do have some great topics that we're going to share with you about this. But on his last show, he was relating a fantastic story, and that is, you see, he distributes these halal stickers. You can buy sheets of these stickers. You just go to his website at Restore Australia, and there's an email address, and you can put in your order. So these are sold internationally. I mean, he's not standing there in a street corner, for goodness sake, passing them out. No, these are sold internationally. And so he's at his desk in his office one day, and he gets a phone call. And it's a politician from a bit of ways. And this politician says, Can you please tell people not to stick their Beware Halal Fund Terrorist stickers, you know, on mailboxes and this and that? And he had to laugh, and he said, look, you know, there's a disclaimer on every packet that I send out, and use responsibly. You're going to have to find the actual perpetrators. That's beyond my control. I offer a service. That's all I do. And he sent me a picture. There is a picture of Muslima, and she's wearing, you know, the veil and everything like that. And I guess somebody had taken one of his stickers and put it on the back of her veil, and she's walking around with this Beware Halal Food Funds Terrorist sticker on her. You gotta love it. Oh, and Cal Living is asking from the chat room, do we have butchers in Canada? Well, quote unquote, no. We have idiot politicians in Canada, though, that would export our livestock and send them off to be murdered in such a manner. Oh, it just really got to me, folks. I try to check my email as much as possible, because you never know what you're going to find in there. You know, it's kind of like Christmas morning. Open up a gift, and you never know what's going to be in the box. Well, sometimes I get things in my email, and it's like, oh, good grief, really? Yeah, so thanks a lot, Canada. Thanks for nothing. Australia and New Zealand are taking strong steps to prevent this sort of barbarity. But Canada saw a little corner of the market and stepped right in to accommodate those poor creatures. I don't know. I'm going to move along, though. I've got a few things here for you. I'm kind of glad that my show is not as structured as it could be, but what can we say? But you know what? I want to move into something else now. Let's shift gears a bit. As you recall, or may not, Somalia declared war on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somalia, they only have about 1,000 surviving Christians. 1,000 in Somalia. And to survive there, that's a challenge, because in a country where everyone is either an Islamic militia or trying to move to the United States to sponge off welfare and plot terrorist bombings, that's a tough gig to be a Christian. Let me repeat that. This is a country where everyone is either in an Islamic militia or trying to move to the United States to sponge off welfare and plot terrorist bombings. Mm-hmm. And the United States is well aware. The United States people are well aware of this. The Somalia diaspora, especially in Dearborn, Michigan, or if it's more commonly known, Dearbornistan. Well, this is the same country where in 2009 four Christian orphanage workers were beheaded for refusing to convert to Islam. Well, now Somalia, they got their act together to ban Christmas. Ain't that swell? Here is an edict from the Somali government. I'm going to read it to you verbatim after I take a sip here. Sorry about that. I've been having a little throat trouble. It's the weather. But the Somali government has banned celebration of Christian festivities in the country. the Director General of the Ministry, Sheikh Mohammed Cairo. Sheikh Mohammed Cairo Aidan, and the Director of Religious Matters, Sheikh Ali Sheikh Mohammed, a.k.a. Sheikh Ali Dir, they held a press conference in the capital of Mogadishu to make the announcement. Quote, "We alert fellow Muslims in Somalia that some festivities to mark Christian days will take place around the world in this week. It is prohibited to celebrate those days in the country." Oh, and let's look at this. Aden got an honorific. He is referred to as Mr. Aden. On his part, stated that all security and law enforcement agencies had been instructed to counter any such celebrations. He added that copies of the directive were delivered to hotels and other meeting places in Mogadishu. Now, get this. The usurper in thief, meanwhile, has pledged at least $1.5 billion into this terrorist Islamic hellhole. Yeah, on January 17th of 2003, the United States formally recognized the federal government of Somalia as an acknowledgement of the recent political and security gains in Somalia. Oh, come on. Are you serious, Obama? Committed to assisting Somalia. At the second London conference on Somalia on May 7th, Deputy Secretary William J. Burns announced plans to provide, subject to congressional notification, an additional nearly $40 million for Somalia. Since 2009, and remember, this is the usurper administration, the United States has provided over $1.5 billion in assistance to Somalia, including $545 million in 2012 alone. The U.S. government hopes to continue substantial financial support to Somalia in future years that will support Somalia's progress and transition to longer-term development. And you know, meanwhile, the Somali migration to the United States, it continues unabated. You know why, though? That's because, you know, the United States can become as peaceful and tolerant as Somalia. And that's right, the usurper and thief. He wants more Somali refugees. And they're moving into places all over. They're creating the enclaves. Some communities are begging them, please don't come here. We're running out of... Our public coffers are running dry because of your demands for welfare. Yeah. And I'm reading this from Front Page Magazine, and there's a photo of the usurper, and he's dressed up as a Somali elder. Sheikh Mehmed Hassan dressed up, our cute little usurper. Well, yours. Well, he's ours. He's, you know, wherever this guy goes, so does the rest of us. He looks, that's that infamous photo you see of him. He's wearing the red T-shirt, and he's got the white banners crisscrossing across his chest, and he's wearing the diaper head. That's the one where he looks like he's wearing toilet paper. Yeah, that's the photo I'm looking at. Damn fool. So, yeah, Somalia declares war on Christmas celebrations, and this asshat is giving them funding. Here, let me see if I can put this in the chat room. I probably won't put this on my blog because I want to work a little more comprehensively on this. But for those in the chat room, here you go. Have at her. This is abhorrent to me, this sort of thing. So much for coexistence and religious understanding. There are some Islamic countries where you go, and even a possession of a Bible is punishable by death. That's your Islam. Oh, I don't know if you can hear that. My dog just came down here. Anyway. It's really distressing. I was on East Anglian EDL radio show today with Jeff. We brought something up about politicians and how they're too fearful to confront Islam and the ramifications for what it means for the host countries in the West. And the major point we always bring up is that, well, they're too afraid. They don't want to say anything because they just want to sit there as a backbencher maybe and be quiet, retire with a pension and get on with life. But there was a point that was also brought up, and that was, what about the political enablers like David Cameron and Barack Hussein Obama? David Cameron, I think he's just an idiot, and he's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Well, he's an idiot. I have no time for that one. I don't waste a whole lot of time speaking about him. But Barack Hussein Obama is a completely different ball of wax. He's loving this. People say, is this guy a Muslim? I don't know. But by birthright, yes, he is. His father was a Muslim. And by birthright, that would make him a Muslim. Is he a lapsed Muslim? Perhaps. But he certainly has sympathy with Islam. For goodness sake. His formative years in education took place in madrasas in Kenya. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know if the Bilderberg or anything like that is behind this. A lot of people say, well, he's a Muslim, he was born in Kenya, the birth certificate is a forgery. I don't like going down that road because, quite frankly, I don't really give a crap where the guy was born. All I know is that he's not, his heart is not in America. That's all. That's all I care about. Born in Kenya, born in Hawaii, whatever. The guy was born somewhere. Who the hell knows? Probably was Hawaii. I don't know. But his heart is not American. How on earth did this community organizer get to hold the highest echelon of power on the entire planet? It's beyond me. But this man is single-handedly dismantling the United States of America. And if I were an American, I would be outraged. As a Christian American, I would be outraged that this usurper still pledges that the total of $1.5 billion to a country, that essentially persecutes Christians. I think that we should demand our politicians to ban Eid. E-I-D. Let's ban Eid al-Adha, shall we? How do you think we would fare? Not too damn bloody well. Now, a lot of people say, oh, he's been a plant for a long, long time. Well, you know, that would be quite the fait accompli if they'd been grooming this guy since 1957 or 58, whatever year he was born, and said, we're going to take this child and we're going to groom him, and we're going to raise him, get him all prepared to run the country, the greatest nation on the planet. That is quite a feat. No, I think this guy is just an idiot. He went to law school. We don't know anything about his background. But he went to law school or something. I don't know. He, you know, became a community organizer. Ran for Congress, gotten there, yay. Go, okay, golly fine, gee, bully on you. And then ran for president. And what happened is that he got the black vote and he got the uninformed vote. And he got the white guilt vote. That's how he became president. Not because there was any grand scheme per se. It's just because we're stupid. That's how we got their stupidity on the part of the electorate. But now he's there, and he's doing all this, and what do you want to do about it? I'm really unhappy with a lot of these Western governments and their appeasement when it comes to Islam. Canada, shame on you with those poor little farm animals. And quit calling me an Islamophobe. The only thing that scares me is my neck being sawed off from the back to the front while I'm still alive. It's a pretty quiet chat room tonight. I got golf dogs and American ladies in there. I've got Sue on the line. But it is Christmas time. Everybody is out celebrating, like I say. It's beautiful, though, that you guys take so much time out of your day to listen to the ravings of a mad fox. I appreciate that. I want to do some. Now, I booked the show for 2 hours, but I'm not going to use up the full 2 hours because it is Christmas and people are busy. I know a lot of people like to listen and archive, so I don't want to, you know, feed them a full 2 hours, but unbelievably, I'm just about halfway through my time, the 90 minutes that I want to do. The only reason why I booked for 2 hours is because there's a certain somebody who likes to visit the chat room, and he does it specifically because, well, he loves me, and he loves the fellow chatters. But he likes that closing song I do, Fox on the Run. He likes that. I do want to share something here. I am going to take a bit of a break. Now, this is 7 minutes long. But I'm doing this for Michael Green because, as you know, he works with wounded warriors. And I'm just trying to find it and bring it up. Here we go. I've got it. I think I do. Yeah, well, as you can tell, I'm deflated anyway. That animal story really upset me. That bothered me a lot. And that Canada is complicit in the halal slaughter and how they do it. Yeah, that really bothered me. But Michael Green, he sent this to me. He was wondering if we should play it on the East Anglian, but I thought, no, I think it's more appropriate for the Red Fox. This is about the American son. This is about the soldier that goes out there. And as we know, our soldiers are deployed in the biggest cesspools on the planet. A lot of them come home with wounds that we can only imagine. A lot of them come home with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're not allowed to talk about that, though. Michael Green works beside these soldiers. And he sits there, and he talks to them, and he listens to what they have to say. You know, he goes to the Walter Reed Hospital. Walter Reed is one of the best facilities in the United States for treating our wounded warriors. And this is hard on him. He does a lot of work. So he sent this to me. This is about what our soldiers endure, and especially when they come home. This is the Marines with post-traumatic stress disorder. These are our American sons. I'll see you back here in 7 minutes. Just a bit of a slow startup.
Troops mistreated and also misdiagnosed. We got our hands on an audio tape which first surfaced on Salon.com. It features the voice of an Army psychologist and was secretly recorded by a soldier at Fort Carson, Colorado. On it, Douglas McNinch says that he's been pressured not to diagnose soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder and to label them instead with anxiety disorder. That could result in the wrong treatments, also lower disability payments, or no payments at all. Listen to the sound.
Wake up and it's only 3 a.m. and I can't smoke a cigarette. I can't have any light shining in the night. Try and keep them crosshairs off my head. Head out on night patrol through a bad little town that I don't know. I'm kicking in doors, it's just a day's chore. It's all routine to U.S. Marines. Another night of green glow, and like I'd never seen, there was a firefight. They hit my Humvee, blew out my knee, but I got scared. ever been. And I'm staying in to win this war. It's close quarters and I follow orders. It's my third tour of this war.
Welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. And I played that American Son. See, isn't it sad? Our soldiers go overseas and they fight. They lose limbs. They lose life. And they sometimes, maybe they lose their minds because of what they witness, what they see. The heat and the culture, the so-called Islamic culture that they have to witness day in and day out. And they come home. And that's how they're treated. They're shuttled away. I really want to thank Michael for that. And as I aforementioned, he does a lot of work with the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. in helping wounded warriors. There's something else here I want to share with you. And that is another fine person who established an organization. We know her as Rockstar in our chat room. That's Allison. She created this.
For many of our vets, the real battle is only beginning. With high unemployment, post-traumatic stress disorder, and life-altering injuries, coming back to civilian life can be a difficult journey. We can't wait for the government to solve the problems our veterans face. We must help those who have given so much in defense of our freedom. Unforgotten Heroes is an organization dedicated to assisting our veterans in whatever way is needed in their transition back to civilian life. Please visit unforgottenheroes.org to find out what you can do to help. You can also find Unforgotten Heroes on Facebook. And remember, no hero should ever be forgotten.
And they say that a hero can save us. I'm not gonna stand in the way. I'll hold on to the wings of the eagle, watching the old fly away.
I think I inadvertently dedicated this Christmas show, and it is still Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, and Hanukkah. I liked doing this segment. I think I dedicated that to our men and women in the military, whether they be American, Canadian, Australian, New Zealand, English, wherever they are. There are people out there doing a job, and when they are done, when their deployment is complete, they deserve nothing but our utmost love and respect and treatment from our government. The people love the American soldier, the Canadian soldier, Australian soldier, United Kingdom soldier, all of them, the people. But our governments are sorely missing in recognizing their sacrifices that they make. You know, being a soldier, you always hear about, you know, being a doctor is a calling, right? Or being a priest, a pastor, is a calling. Being a soldier is a calling. You have to have a special soul to be a soldier. It's a thankless job. When our soldiers come back home, they deserve nothing but the best. Michael and Allison, I commend you very much. I want to talk to you about a story out of Canada. And boy, oh boy, did this ever get me going. And I'll put the link in the chat room. Because you got to see it to believe it. If I didn't post it, you wouldn't believe it. But in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, yeah, there's a new campaign going on. Subway posters. There is a Canadian Islamic charity that is saying that Jesus is no God. One of the posters says, is Jesus God? The Bible and the Quran say no. This is being spewed, for lack of a better word, by Cool Kutfri Quran. And yeah, that's a Canadian registered charity. They sponsored the posters, but they called for contributions. Oh, hey, fellow coffer, infidel, they want your money. Can you please donate $600 a month? Or maybe, you know, it's only $150 per week or $20 per day to maintain the posters. Why not? Yeah. I'm looking at one right here. Is Jesus God? Bible and Quran says no. Discover the truth. World Wide Web. ... Go to hell. And below that, sponsor this ad, please, or sponsor this poster, rather, please. Oh, for goodness sake, you've got to be kidding me. There's another one here that they're plastering on the Toronto subways. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Muhammad is his last messenger. Read the final testament, the Quran. Oh, and they give you an address. Oh, you can go to a walk-in Islamic info center on Dundas Street West in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And again, sponsor this poster, please. I'm not going to bore you with the details because I'm not going to sit here and tell you what this group is saying or anything like that. You've got enough of an idea. I put the link in the chat room, and if you like, you can go to the Red Fox Blogger and take a look at that. Red Fox Blogger at blogspot.com. I've got it there too for the archive listeners. Now, the only reason why I brought this up on East Anglian today was because I have been rather smug about, well, Canada's, you know, we don't have too many of those problems. Well, hell yeah, I guess we do. Because these ads were sanctioned. Unreal. Islam's coming to town, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what to say. I cannot even encapsulate this. But Islam is here. Now, I was in another chat room, and there was a fine gentleman. And he said, yeah, we know all about Islam. But what do we do with it at this point? And that's always, always a very interesting question. What do we do about it? Well, stop electing officials that endorse Islam. Educate yourself about what Islam is. Well, you folks are educated because I always say I have smart listeners and I have smart readers from the blog. So you folks know. Educate others. Share with them exactly what Islam is. Share with them about halal. Eat a halal. Slaughter. Share the hadiths and the asiras. Because Islam is determined to take us out. Absolutely. You guys are all familiar with that idiot, Ajun Chowdhury. Yeah, he's a so-called British cleric. Runs around out there, preaches all over the place. As a matter of fact, this is a dude in his gang that disrupted a military parade honoring those coming home from Kabul, Afghanistan. And they were the ones that were burning poppies, and they were waving the placards around. There's only one God but Allah. Those who insult Allah, will be killed. All that nonsense. Well, yeah, that's Ajim Chowdhury and his gang. He said that Jesus was not a Christian, and in fact, if Jesus was alive today, he would be following the Muslims and Islam. Jesus will return one day, and he will break the cross, and he will pray behind the Muslims. That's Ajim Chowdhury, and this guy's allowed to get away with it. Now, I mentioned what he and his gang did in 2009 at the parade to celebrate the British soldiers. There was a guy at that parade standing around, and he was seeing this. And he said, I can't take it anymore. That guy, that man, is Tommy Robinson, and thus he formed the English Defense League. The English Defense League is a global movement now. There are chapters in virtually every Western country on the planet. Because one fella, he saw something, and he went, no. I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to do anything about it. No, not no way, I can't do it. I'm so grateful to that man and his uncle, Kev Carroll, that they formed an organization that would become so powerful that it would be global. Because we have idiots like this in our midst, the Ajim Chowdhurys. And we have these chapters as well in Canada, the United States, the Council of American Islamic Relations that hides behind. Well, you know what? They're not hiding behind. What's hiding behind them are Islamic extremists, like the Muslim Brotherhood, which was recently banned in Egypt as a terrorist organization. Yay, Egypt. Mm-hmm. I think that people are realizing just how deep this threat lies. And there is a whole lot of us who are not going to sit here and take it anymore. I think the American people in particular, what I really want you to do is write your senator or congressman or whoever, your mayor, and say, look, Somalia just did this. They pretty much denounced Christianity. There's only 1,000 Christians surviving in Somalia. I really don't agree with sponsoring Somalia nor its inhabitants. Could you please maybe forward my letter of protest to the president? Well, God, what's his name? He's not a president. He's a usurper. To the usurper in faith sitting in my White House, please? I would also ask Canadians, because the focal points tonight have been the United States and Canada with a little smattering of Britain in here. But I would ask my Canadian compatriots to write your MP, your Member of Parliament, and forward these links and say, look, I don't want my tax dollars. I don't want the money. I don't want my tax dollars going towards supporting halal, and I don't want the extra cash. I don't want the extra revenue to see sheep drug across the globe to be slaughtered by amateurs with rusty dull knives. See, you can do a lot about it. You are the people. You are the power. You are the electorate. These people work for us. And the more stories that I can bring to you or anybody here whether it be Jeff at the East Anglian EDL radio show, what he brings to you, what he's telling you, what Radio Jihad Network. There are so many out there that you can listen to. Everybody has a different story, but it all comes back to one denominator. Islam is evil. They hate everything. Hatred. That's it. That's all they know. I was looking at Holger's link here, at Holger Awakens at blogspot.com earlier today. And he had a link in there. And I'm not going to post it because it's disturbing. But I watched it because, you know, I'm a counter-jihadist, and I'm obligated to watch a few things. I don't like doing it, but I do. A bunch of Muslims. They beheaded infidels, non-Muslims. And they were kicking their heads around like they were playing soccer. That's Islam. These people, these sub-core animals are soulless. Absolutely soulless. What so-called religion demands that you kill an unbeliever by smiting them? Good God. The animals, the children and the animals, that bothers me. We remember those little girls. I believe it was Indonesia. There were Christian girls on their way to school. And they were accosted by grown so-called men, and they were beheaded. For what? For being Christians and going to school. That is Islam. I have something here, and I'm going to look for it. And but I want to play something for you. And this is actually from my friend Royalwood. He's a Canadian artist. He has a new album coming out. I'm not plugging him. This is an old song. But he has a new album coming out, and I saw it on his Facebook page, so I was just commenting on it. And it just jogged my memory of a song that he did that I really, truly enjoy. And it's called Do You Recall? I'm going to play that for you, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to close out the show. Like I say, I'm not doing the full 2 hours. So here, take a listen, and I'll see you guys back here in 4 minutes.
torment us for was the noise at all. Oh, do you recall? Oh, do you recall? What meant us for was the noise at all. Oh, do you
welcome back, and I really do love that song. It's called Do You Recall, and it's by Royal Wood. You can find it on YouTube. And look at the video. He did this video by the ocean. That's why you hear the crashing of the waves at the beginning and the crashing of the waves at the very end of it. It's a beautiful, beautiful song, and he is a wonderful Canadian artist. So thank you, Royal Wood, for that. Holy smokes, I'm nearly out of time here. But I think I'm turning this into a headline news show. A lot of news has been going on, though, this week, and I'm trying to fit in as much fun as I possibly can. This week, Egypt announced that the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. You folks are really, really good in that you further educate people. I give you homework, and you make me proud. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, it's a Sunni movement. It's a Sunni movement mixing religion with political activism and charity work. That's one important point to keep in mind. The Muslim Brotherhood supports the creation of an Islamic state encompassing the entire Muslim world. But they want a Pan-Arabia and more. They want a caliphate. At this point, there are 2 million members of the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide. But what is it? Where did it come from? Well, it started in 1928. It was founded by Islamic scholar Hassan al-Banna. That one always floors me. These Muslims, these wacky old Muslims, you give them a soapbox and they'll stand up on it and they'll be like, because they always like speaking in decibels that would, you know, only dogs can hear some days, I swear. And you give them a soapbox and they speak, and they're scholars. Bim, bam, boom. Bob's your uncle. There you go. All right, Cal. Knock it off. But it was founded in 1928 by Hassan al-Banna. And in 1948, it was banned for attacking British, colonial, and Jewish interests. So 1928, now we're at 1948. Let's move to 1954. President Gamal Abdel Nasser, he launched a crackdown on the Brotherhood, and that lasted until 1970. Yes. President Gamal Abdel Nasser, he launched a crackdown on the Brotherhood, and that lasted until the 1970. Until 1970. Now we move up to 1981. Radical Brotherhood offshoot. They assassinate President Anwar Sadat, over a peace deal with Israel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Egypt was brokering a peace deal with Israel via President Anwar Sadat and the Muslim Brotherhood. They assassinate him. That was in 1981. 1980 to 1990, his successor, President Hosni Mubarak, recognizes Brotherhood as a religious group but denies it political status. So it forms an alliance with existing political parties. In 2005, there was an electoral breakthrough, and that sparked a crackdown by Mubarak. Hosni Mubarak. In 2011, there was an uprising against Mubarak and its Freedom and Justice Party with parliamentary elections, which means in 2012, the FJP, the leader, Mohamed Morsi, he's elected as president. Well, in 2013, the Egyptian people went, hey, whoa, back it up, back up this bus. Come on, this is not what we wanted. Because Morsi was reestablishing Sharia law. And the Egyptian people said, no, this is not what we signed up for. Get the hell out of here. So in 2013, there were anti-government protests, and the army came in, and they ousted Morsi. And the army started to launch a crackdown on the Brotherhood. Well, our Christmas present was on December 25th of this year. The new government declares the Brotherhood a terrorist organization. So I just thought you might like to know a little bit about that. The Egyptian government intensified its crackdown on the Muslim Brotherhood on Wednesday, formally listing the group as a terrorist organization after accusing it of carrying out a suicide bomb attack on a police station that killed 16 people. The move marked a major escalation in the army-backed government's campaign to suppress the Islamist movement that propelled Mohamed Morsi to the presidency 18 months ago, but has been driven underground since the army toppled him in July. It gives the authorities the power to charge any member of the Brotherhood with belonging to a terrorist group, as well as anyone who finances the group or promotes it, whether it be verbally or in writing. Now, this is a turning point in the confrontation. This is an important tool for the government to close any door in the face of the Brotherhood's return to political life. This is from Khalil El-Anani, and he's a Washington-based expert on the movement. The Muslim Brotherhood, let's just hope it does not rise again. Now, I'm going to close out this show because I didn't want to do the full 2 hours. I booked it for 2 hours, but when I'm alone, when I don't have a guest and I'm sitting here all alone, I tend to ramble on, and I don't want to bore people. But there is something that I want to share with you, and that is that it's Christmas time. I'm forever grateful that you have joined me. American Lady, COG, Doc, I have a guest in there. I had other people that popped in and popped out. I have people that listen in archive. I have people listening on other devices, and that's Sue from New Mexico. And Doc, thank you. Fox, you are never boring. Love you, Doc. Thanks. It is, however, still a busy week for a lot of people celebrating the Christmas season with their families and their friends and other loved ones. You guys mean, like, you guys make it worthwhile doing. When I started doing this show a year and a half ago, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I didn't know where I was going to go with it. I thought I was going to discuss, I don't know, human interest stories, cats versus dogs. Share stories with you about my cat, Freya. Here, Freya. But it kind of has taken a life on its own. And sometimes this show, I can barely keep up with it. But that's good. It's a ride for me. I lose weight, and I lose sleep. But it's worth it to me, because there is something out there. It's called Islam. You know what we can do with those Muslims and those stupid freaking beards that they grow, you know, to be the length of their fist? I got a slide up there, and I call it the Swifter. You know those Swifters that you sweep the floor with? That's what we can do with those beards. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm going to get myself in a whole lot of trouble. But seriously, folks, I want to thank you a lot, like a whole lot, big time lot, tons of lot. But I wish you tons of love, and I wish you the most blessed of the Christmas season. And come on, 2014, that's ours. And in the United States in particular, 2014 is your year in particular, because like I say, by elections, it's your country. Take it back. Folks, a few programming notes. On Wednesday, Restore Australia will be right here at the Red Fox Blogger Network at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Thursday, Randy L. Noble of Cross in the Desert, he does his monthly two-hour program here on Red Fox Blogger this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be back. I'll be back this Monday. Sorry, you know what? I thought it was Friday. Or no, what day? Where am I? Mommy, what's my name? Okay. On Monday, I'll be back. Next Wednesday, my cult of Restore Australia will be back. And on Thursday after that, Randy L. Noble will be back. And, of course, I will be back next Friday. Okay, guys, I better get out of here. I think I've had too much rum and eggnog. Gosh. Love you all. I'll see you on Monday. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
And something I forgot to add. It is mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity. Have a great weekend, all.